That's what Sister Tanya was saying. New beginning. Amen. She talked about her life before, but that is nothing really for us to even think about, other than to give God the thanks that it's different now. Amen. And we can say that about any one of us. Hallelujah. You open up history for some of us, and you open up a can of worms. Amen. But you open up the presence of God, the knowledge of the presence of God, and the awareness of what God can do. And the can of worms is no longer a can of worms. There's no can, there are no worms. It's all gone. Washed away. Cleansed. Taken out of our lives. You know, God sees us as a innocent baby. That's why we call it being born again. And this is for any individual on the face of the earth that will go for it. It's a whosoever will proposition. We have a choice. We have a gentle God, a God who cares, a God who loves. We have been set free because He loves us so much, set free to make our own decisions. I can live for Him or I can choose not to live for Him. Why? Because He loves me enough to let me go. Amen. He loves me enough to let me go and be what I want to be. Do what I want to do. And so now, after I've tried everything I can think of to try, what do I want to do now? And it sort of ends up there, you know, okay, I've done everything I know to do. I've tried everything I know to try. I've gone everywhere I know to go. I've exhausted myself in trying to figure it all out. Now what? And you know what we always end up finding out? God is just what He was when He first somehow showed Himself to us, or when we first realized He was there. He's just as loving and kind as He was when He said, you're free to go, you're free to do whatever you want to do. And when we say, well, I'm tired of being free. All this freedom isn't what it appeared to be. It's not what I thought it would be. Like Sister Sharon was talking about, you know, it's, okay, what do I do? Well, she said, well, I went back to church. Amen. I went back to church. That's saying, I went back to the God that set me free. So what we found out, being set free, was actually walking into bondage. It was actually walking into a situation where we didn't really have it all figured out until we got out there and experienced life and we realized we needed some help of some kind. Amen. And you know what? There's not a friend you can find in the world like Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. You can trust somebody, but they will sooner or later betray your trust. They'll say something they shouldn't have said. They'll do something they shouldn't have done. It's hard to find a good friend that you can really trust in this world. I'm not saying it can't be done, but there is no friend that can heal you every time you're sick. And there is no friend that can restore you every time you're torn all to pieces on the inside, other than Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is the answer. Now, there is a thief that wants to take this away from us. Would you stand for a moment? Let's just read this passage in the 10th chapter of John. Amen. 10th chapter of John. Hallelujah. God is so good. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You may be seated. Amen. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. You hear about it in the news every day. People can get up in the morning. You know, people spend a lifetime, you know, getting their education, working hard, trying with ambition to make plans for the future, make plans for the children, go forward and do something right, pay their bills, establish their credit, be recognized and known as a trustworthy person in the community. And in just one moment, somebody can walk through that door with a gun in hand and end it all. And it happens over and over. I mean, when we hear the news, it's easy just to listen to the radio and hear the news and be entertained. And we hear over and over. We hear over and over about robberies, murders, people being killed. And we hear it so much, it's just a common thing. But you know what? Every time there is a news report about somebody opening up their store and their life ended, that was a family member, somebody's son, somebody's daughter, somebody's daddy, somebody's mother, somebody that worked hard, somebody that had a lot of plans, somebody that was trying to do something with their life, now it's all ended. And you hear those that are left behind as they say, Oh, I can't believe this happened. I just can't believe this happened. He was such a good person. She was such a good person. A member of this and a member of that and always doing good things to help people. And they just talk about this. How I remember this individual. Oh, I can't believe this happened in our community. Well, this is exactly what happens when you're trying to make something out of yourself for God. You can really want to live for God. You can pray. You can seek after God. You can get yourself into a position where you just depend on God. You trust God. And you're going somewhere. And we can make it. But every once in a while you hear about somebody that something went wrong. Something went wrong. It wasn't a gun. It wasn't a masked bandit. It was not somebody that broke into a store and got the money out of the cash register. But it was a thief. Nevertheless, it was a thief. Amen. Somebody trying to do well, wanting to submit to God, wanting to live for God, and somehow everything was destroyed. Everything was taken away. But you know what? Even though that happens, we have a God who's able to put everything back together. And that's the part a lot of people forget about. Oh, I've lost it all. I don't have what I once had. I can't do what I thought I would be able to do. And a lot of people get stuck in a circle of, I can't do it anymore. It's like this just goes around and around. It gets in the mind. It gets in the heart. And they get to thinking on it, and there's no hope. What's the use? And they try things that they once were delivered from. And they go to places that they once refused to go to. And they end up back out there again. But you know what? We have a patient, loving, long-suffering friend. And he says, I've come to give you life more abundantly. And he didn't put some kind of a rule on there. If you let the thief steal from you and destroy what you've got after I give it to you, he didn't say you can't come back. Right. Amen. Because the whole Word of God teaches us that if we will return to Him, you read the whole Old Testament, and you're going to find people serving Him and then forgetting about His miracles, forgetting about, because a thief comes along and takes it away. Yeah. I mean, they go through the sea on dry ground. The enemy's destroyed when there's so many of them. But they just start singing and praising the Lord, and the enemy destroys himself, and they end up being victorious. But soon you see them turning to this way and turning to that way and trying this and trying that. People get discouraged. People become forgetful. People have problems. People worry. People have doubts and fears and inhibitions, and we call it human nature. And if you don't have all that, you may not be human. But if you do have some fears, if you do have some problems, if you do have some hang-ups, if you do have some worries and some deep down concerns and even doubts, the whole reason why we're in church and presenting church to other people who are not here and yet they're listening and watching, the whole reason we're here is to let you know that all that has a cure, a remedy, amen, something that can fix it. And it's not some kind of, you know, here's some medicine that'll do anything, magic trick. It's not that. We're not medicine men riding into town with a little bottle that you can buy for a dollar and it'll cure cancer and it'll cure heart problems and toothaches. It's not that. Amen. Everything else that tries to say that we can do that is trying to copy something that really can do that. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we can look around and say, well, what about that one? He's fat. What about that one? She's skinny. What about that one? He's got problems. What about that one? He can't pay some bills. What about that one over there? They're having family problems. What about that one over there? And you can look at Christians and get your mind on things that may be going wrong in their lives. But please bear in mind, each one of us has to deal with a thief 24 hours a day. Constantly. Constantly, all day long, all night long, there is a thief that's been around a lot longer than any one of us that wants to steal your joy, wants to take your crown, wants to take everything that's good out of your life, wants to make your life miserable. And I don't care who you are, you're nobody different to somebody else when it comes to having to deal with a thief. He's no respecter of persons, just as God is no respecter of persons. And I don't care how consecrated you are, how devoted you are, how much you go to church, how much you testify, how much you give, how much you pray, we're all subject to having it all taken away. Hallelujah! But I know a God. I know a King. I know a Savior. I know one that can restore. I know one that can raise us up. I know one that can defeat the thief. I know one that can take the thief out of the way and give us clean passage. Make a way when there seems to be no way. Open up doors that could not be opened. Hallelujah. Everybody say, His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus is a name above all names. It's not just a doctrinal issue. It's not just a subject to debate. Jesus is the answer. I don't care what the problem is. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Jesus. Hallelujah. The thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. But Jesus comes to give life more abundantly. And you read through the Old Testament and you see how that, and by the way, in case you're not aware of this, the God of the Old Testament is the Jesus that we're talking about. Amen. He, in the Old Testament, you don't see Him dwelling as, you know, as a man walking around on the shores of Galilee, but you read about one as if He's already there, because God inspires the Word, and He writes through His prophet, "Unto us a child is born." And it sounds like a present thing that's happening right there. In the eyes of God, in the mind of God, it is, because the Word has always been with God and always has been God. And whatever God says is His Word that is God that brings forth anything God wants it to bring forth. His Word never returns to Him void. So you read in the Old Testament about all these things going wrong and people calling on the name of the Lord. Calling on the name of the Lord. Doing things in the name of the Lord. And then you start studying about who is the Lord. And when you find Jesus in your Bible, you're going to find who the Lord is. Amen. Saul, when he didn't know the Lord, he thought he knew the Lord. He point blank asked God, "Who are you, Lord?" Because he was on a road on his way to try to destroy some of these Christian people that believed in Jesus. And God himself got his attention, shined a light on him, spoke with a voice that he could hear, and said, "Saul, why are you trying to persecute me? Why are you trying to persecute me?" What was going on in Saul's life? He was a man that was educated. He was a man that was noble. He was a man that had a lot going for him. He was a man with some authority. He was a man that was well recognized with power. And all that recognition, all that power, and all that ability, and all that education was just part of a plan of a thief to keep him from being able to have something better. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So God Himself, the Almighty Creator, spoke and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul wanted to know who God was. Who is the Lord? And he just asked him. Right there on the spot, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Bible records the answer came back from God. And God said these words, "I am Jesus." The Lord said, "I am Jesus." That's the same Lord that David went to the giant, faced the giant with. He said, "I don't come to you with a spear and all this armor. I don't come to you with all this stuff that people ordinarily have that fight in battles like this. But I have something I do come to you with. I come to you in the name of the Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is Jesus. Amen. At that time, He was yet to come as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. But nevertheless, the Word of God is not limited to a human being wrapped in a swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. The Word of God created all things. Hallelujah. In John, the first chapter, verse 14, we read about the Word was made flesh. Amen. That was the Word that made all things, was made Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And so when we talk about Jesus Christ, the man, we're not just talking about a man, but we're talking about God's Word made visible. Hallelujah. We're talking about the Word of God declaring God in a way that we can look. And, you know, and I say we can look. Actually, we're walking by faith because not one of you has seen Jesus Christ. Not one of us has ever seen Jesus Christ. And we read the Bible and we have handled Him. We have touched Him. We have seen Him. And we rejoice about that. But you know what? Our rejoicing is not because we've seen Him with our eyes. Amen. It's we believe Him with our heart. We believe the writing of the Word of God to be the inspired Word of God. And why not believe it? If God can create all things, even if that's hard to believe, just look at yourself. You're walking on something. Hallelujah. You're walking on something. Where did it all come from? It's easier for me to believe in a God who can make things and make them work right than any theory that man has been able to come up with. I cannot believe that there was a big bang and then all of a sudden things just kind of assembled themselves and eventually became people with minds able to get education and work and make a living. I just can't believe that. I don't care how long it takes, no explosion's going to end up with the order that we know. Unless there's a God that makes it happen. Hallelujah. But He can take a big bang if it wants it to be a big bang. He can take anything that He wants and just say, "Let there be." That "let there be," I don't know what came after that. It might have been a big bang. I'm sure it was. Nothing was there and suddenly there are billions of stars. Billions of stars. Billions of stars. Galaxies. Millions of galaxies. Millions of galaxies. Stars and planets and satellites. Hallelujah. And then He does, we look back and we read it, something that's very, very difficult to understand. He takes something he made, earth, as we know it, the world, and scoops up dust from the earth and breathes on it. And man becomes a living soul. He makes man out of dirt. Thank you, Jesus. Think about that. He made man out of dirt. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to turn with me to something here. Amen. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms. The 8th Psalm. O Lord, our Lord. Everybody say, O Lord, our Lord. Amen. Now you got capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's O, Almighty Creator God, Jehovah, Maker of all things. That's who that is. O Lord, our Lord, capital L, small O, small R, small D. It's all the same Lord, but it's sort of bringing it into God's way of talking. O Lord, our Lord. O God, our God. O Master of all things, our Master. O Savior, our Savior. O Word, our Word. O One God, our One God. And when this psalm was written, they didn't know the salvation name of God. But we do today. Hallelujah. We do today. O Lord, our Jesus. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now think about that. You can read it real fast and it just goes by. But this gives us the reason why that he has ordained for babies, infants, small ones that are weak, amen, to be able to be the strong ones. Why? So you can have the victory. He didn't choose strong people, mighty soldiers, people with all kinds of abilities, and he's going to pull that over, that's easy to fall. People with all kinds of abilities. He didn't choose people that have everything going for them to make sure that he could win the battles. But out of the mouth of babies. Amen. Let me read it again. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. Now let me say it with emphasis on thou. Thou means you, O Lord, our Lord. Amen. Out of the mouth of babies and sucklings, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you can steal the enemy and the avenger. You did it because you want to be the one that gets all the glory and the praise and the credit. Hallelujah. Everybody knows a baby can't win the battle. Everybody knows that an infant, about all an infant can do is cry and say a couple of words. Da-da, mama. Ah! Amen. I want something. That cry is saying a lot of things, but they don't know how to say it, so all they need to do is cry. Ah! And you look at that little infant up there, tears flowing. Ah! You don't know how to satisfy. You never satisfy the kid. You give them stuff and they want more. They throw it down. That's not what they wanted. You can't figure it out. Ah! And God said, out of that, we're going to destroy your enemy. I've chosen out of the mouth of babies. Hallelujah. Amen. Why? So that God, only God, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, the baby is not the one. Hallelujah. That destroyed the enemy in our life, but it was God. Hallelujah. I've seen little children, 3 years old, when everybody in church is trying to figure out what to do about somebody that had a terrible affliction. And they would pray, anoint with oil, and people would line up, and they would lay hands on them, and the person was still sick. And I've seen a little baby come up and put their hand on the head of that person, and that person instantly get well. Hallelujah. All the anointing with oil didn't seem to have an effect. Although the Word of God says, anoint them with oil and pray for them. We do all we know to do. But sometimes God wants everybody in the church to know it's not how much oil that you put on their head. And it's not who lays the hands on their head. And it's not who's been preaching for a long time. And it's not who's been to Bible college and learned all the big words. Amen. He's just looking for somebody to give God all the glory. Amen. Give God all the glory. Hallelujah. So a little baby comes along and he says, I believe God's going to heal my mommy, and touches that mama and mama's well. Who did it? The baby? No, it was God. We know the baby couldn't do it. But God can sure use the baby to show that God can do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have ordained, what is man that you, God, are mindful of man? And the Son of Man that you have visited him, what are we that you would even think about us? When I consider how great you are, that's what this is saying. For you've made man a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor, made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. You have put all things under his feet. Amen. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the seas. Amen. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. God's so good, isn't he? God's so good. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know what? The thief comes to destroy and kill this knowledge. There are people today that are depending on the understanding of Greek and Hebrew in order to know the Word of God. Trying to get every word, every syllable, and every translation to fit and make it come out to make sense so we can serve God in truth. That's a thief trying to break through and steal and kill and destroy. Hallelujah. If you could get it with Greek study, then once you get it, you would owe it all to your study and your understanding and your ability to grasp it. And you'd be able to say what all the world is trying to get us to say now. Man is everything. Man can lift himself up by his own bootstraps. Man creates his own destiny. Humanity is as high as it gets. Secular humanism. That's what all the things going on in our world. The Supreme Court rules in favor of these things. That's why you may get confused and wonder why they can't allow prayer in public schools. But there are a whole lot of things they do allow. Amen. That it would be nicer to allow prayer than what they do allow. Hallelujah. The reason for it is because man has it all figured out. Humanity knows all the answers. You get more education and you'll be able to really go places. You do this and you do that and you will really be somebody. And so some people study a lifetime to become something. But as they study, the wrinkles come on the faces. The hair comes off the head. Diseases come into the body. About the time they think they've about got it figured out, they die. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because a thief comes not to help us, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Hallelujah. But God loves us. God loves us. God loves us. The God that made all things loves us. And He does not require you to know everything about everything. You don't have to go to some place to get all educated and figure all this out. All He wants is somebody that knows nothing. That's just willing to be here. And just kind of a little bit say, I think there might be a God. That's like a little baby first starting out to be aware, I really am here. Now what do I do with me? Yeah. What do I do? I've been sucking on this thing for a long time. Nothing's coming out of it. What is this? They can't even say that word yet. Mommy said, that's your pacifier. Nothing coming out. You know, when you're 4 years old, it's time to put the pacifier down. What is this? Children, have you ever noticed how children say, what's that? What's this? Why did you do that? What's that? Because kids want to know. All of a sudden, they're aware. There's stuff here I don't understand. I remember when I first tried to ride a bicycle. I saw other people riding it. It didn't work for me. I put my foot on it and the thing fell. I said, why? Why can't I ride the bicycle? My daddy said, try again. I did, and it fell again. Why, daddy? He said, here, let me set you up on the bike. And he picked me up, set me down on it, said, put your foot over here, put your foot over here. Then he turned loose of me, and down I went again. Oh, Dad, he can ride it, she can ride it, they can ride it, I can't ride a bicycle. He said, try it again. Amen. Get up. I want to hurt. But after a while, I said, I want to ride a bicycle. So he got some training wheels. But those other guys were riding without training wheels. And he put those training wheels on there. And I got on it, and sure enough, yeah, I could sit there, but I wanted to do it like they did it. And you know what I had to do before I could get there? Fall down a lot of times. But I kept trying. You know what happens? I'm not saying you want to fall down. I don't want to fall. I don't want to fail. But you know what happens? If you keep falling while you're really trying to get somewhere, you finally break through the barriers. You finally get the strength you need. And that's what God's looking for. Somebody with determination to get to the one that loves you, that wants to help you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So no matter how many times you fail, no matter how many times you fall, try it again. I know it hurts when you fall, but you're not there yet. Hallelujah. Clap your hands to Jesus. I'm about to finish. Hallelujah. I'm about to finish. Hallelujah. ninth chapter of Acts, a man is blind. Ninth chapter of John, that is. A man is blind, and Jesus heals him. He's been blind ever since he was a baby. Hasn't ever seen anything. Never seen a tree, never seen a bird. He hears the sounds. He has his own mind, imagination of what things are like, but he has never been able to do anything except feel and imagine. And then here comes Jesus. Amen. And the disciples had some questions. Said, okay, what caused the man to be blind? Was it because he committed some kind of a sin, or maybe his parents sinned, or something went wrong and that caused it? And what Jesus' answer was sort of astonishing. He said, no, it's not because the man has done something wrong or his parents. But the reason that this person is in this condition is so that the works of God can be made manifest. You know why the world was here? So the works of God could be made manifest. God created the world. Then He took dirt and manifested the power of God. There is not a scientist on the face of the earth can scoop up dirt and make a man.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. And so things kind of went wrong. Adam sinned, messed things up for all of us. And you ever ask the question, people always asking the question, why would a good God let all these terrible things happen to all these good people? Airplane crashes, earthquakes, all these terrible things going on, diseases. Why would a loving God allow all this to happen? Amen. But we serve a big God, and you don't cross Him. You don't... If you can only comprehend... All the population of the world turned their back on God one day. Adam and Eve were the only two human beings on the face of the earth. And God gave commandment to humanity and said, do what I say. And as long as you do that, everything's going to be lovely. Everything's going to be fine. But they started listening to another voice that came to steal, that came to destroy. That came to take away their joy. Hallelujah. And because of the sin of those two people that we all came from, we inherited the penalty that God gave humanity. And it's been passed right on down to every last one of us from Adam and Eve till now. It's called sin. We have fallen into sin. We were born and shapen in iniquity. I'm not here to debate the issue on what about little babies. The Bible teaches us, except you become as a child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That seems to indicate that children do enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And I believe that's the kind of God we serve. Hallelujah. But when that child starts to grow up... Except you depend on God, you're not going to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. And trust in God. And look to God. Because as soon, and I don't know when this is, the earlier you get a hold of God, the better off you are. Just to be saved, let God fill you with the Holy Ghost when you're 5 years old. Amen. Just to be saved, go ahead and get baptized when you're 6 or 7 or 8. Hallelujah. As soon as you learn to lie and steal a little bit, it's probably time to change your ways. Yeah. Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Don't mean to be yelling. Let us all stand. Blind man. Jesus is here. But I've never seen. I don't know anything about what He looks like. Doesn't matter. Amen. Hey, Jesus, why is this man blind? Because of his sins or his parents' sins? No, none of those reasons. It's because I want to do something. Amen. I want to do something to let everybody know it's the power of God, not anybody else's power, that can open the blinded eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he does it a different way than anybody would expect. I mean, you could think, you know, somebody that they call the king, they call him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's the Messiah. Some are already believing on him, and they're saying this is the Son of David. He's already performed miracles and done many things, and all of a sudden he just works up some spit in his mouth, some saliva. This Jesus that we talk about. Amen. Hey, look, you don't have to be a dignitary to do the work of God. And you don't have to spit either. But on this occasion, this is what he did. Because there's no set way to get it done that will give anything glory other than God. God spat on the ground. And he took that mixed saliva and dirt and put it in his hands. What that is saying is there's nothing here that can fix that. And there's nothing anybody has anywhere that can fix that. And I'm taking what can't fix it, and I'm fixing it. Hallelujah. Don't give the credit to the spit. Don't give the credit to the mud. But it's the obedience. It's the surrender. It's the willingness to do what he says do and go where he says go. The thief didn't want it to happen. They sent neighbors and friends and said, hey, wait a minute. This can't work. This can't possibly be right. But the man is determined to go where Jesus said go. And he went and he washed and did what he was told to do. And the Bible said he came seeing. He came seeing. I suppose probably, I don't know for sure, but probably there were other blind men in that day that went running to that same pool after they found out that it cured him. Hallelujah. And there's probably some people that tried spitting on the ground and rubbing things in their eyes because it cured him. Hallelujah. You know what the plan is to open the blinded eyes today and set the captive free? Repentance. Baptism in Jesus' name and the Holy Ghost. It seems ridiculous. There's no power in the water. And you can get in the water 1,000 times and you still can't be clean from sin. Hallelujah. There's no power in the water, but there's some power in the name of Jesus. And there's some power in obedience. And the obedience to the Word of God that says, arise, be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord, washing away your sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Hallelujah. Unto what then were you baptized? You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. How did Jesus do it? Well, he got immersed in water. John immersed people in water, teaching them they needed to repent. Amen. What did the water have to do with it? Jesus set the example and gave the command. Who cares? Just do it. Let's all come around the front. You know what the thief has done? Is taken people and say, wait a minute. Now wait just a minute. It's so inconvenient to get in the water and to go under the water. Why not just sprinkle? It'll be just as good. Yeah, just as good. Just sprinkle some water on the head. And there's something about the name of Jesus that makes people uncomfortable. So why not just talk about Him being the Father? And talk about the Son and talk about the Holy Ghost, because everybody is used to that. But when you say Jesus, it makes people nervous. You know why? Because it's like a policeman showing up with a bright light when the thief's about to steal something out of your house. Praise God. Just when the thief is about to convince you, you don't have to listen to the preacher. You don't have to do it just because the Bible says to do it that way. When somebody says, you must repent of those sins, be baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, it feels awkward to even hear it. Hallelujah. But if you want to be free, you've been running free all this time, why not try better freedom? If you want to be set free, make your choice. And you come to Jesus on your own with your heart. And here you are, a baby, just starting to goo a little bit. And you finally get out something that lets God know what you're trying to say. It might be nothing but crying. Ah! And you don't know how to say it, but you know you want it, and it's got to be there, but you can't figure it out. But God understands. God understands. Out of the mouth of babes and suckling, God has perfected strength. Hallelujah. Come on, cry unto me. I will make a man out of you. I'll make a child of God out of you. Go ahead and cry, little one. It's not you that's doing it, but your submission and your surrender and your turning to God. It's just what I've been waiting for. Let your eyes be open so you will understand. Let your ears be unstopped so you'll have better understanding. Let your heart be strengthened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pretty soon that child has said, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus." It doesn't matter how old you are. You can be a child of God. Let's praise Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can be a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You love Him today? Has He been good to you? Did He bring you from a long ways out? Thank you, Jesus. Where were you when you finally became aware that you needed help? You needed strength? You needed something to change in your life? Where were you when He was mindful of you? Thank you, Jesus. What good thing was there in you that would cause you to be able to praise His name today? Mighty God, all the glory, all the credit, all the praise goes to God. Amen. Not by my strength, not by my power, but it's all His Spirit. Praise Him with me. Praise Him with me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. So you don't even have to know how to pray, and God hears your prayer. You don't even have to know the words to say, and God knows what you're saying. You don't even have to know how to walk with Him, and God sees you walking. Hallelujah. You don't have to know how to act in church, but God sees you doing the right things in church. Hallelujah, because it's God that puts it all together. It's God that puts it all together. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't have to know the songs. You don't have to understand the preaching. You don't have to understand why any of this is even happening. All you need to do is just be there and want something. Hallelujah. And ask Him, "Can I do it too? Can I be part of this?" Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost comes on you. You can try to give yourself the Holy Ghost all you want to. It won't work. But when you let God put His Spirit in you, it's all God. He, people speak in tongues, but it's as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Any other kind of speaking in tongues is not right. Amen. That's why there's so many sinners going around claiming to be charismatic today, because they do the glossolalia or whatever it's called. Glossolalia. Anyway, that word's too hard for me to understand. If I had to understand that and had to say it all the time, I'd probably end up speaking in tongues anyway, so forget that word. We just call it speaking in tongues. That's what the Bible... I can't read that glossolalia in the Bible. That's something that came out in the news. And they figured out a word for it a few years ago when somebody was having to hide in a little Sunday school room in the back of the Baptist church to do some glossolalia. Like taking drugs. Hide out, take a little, get a little high here and there. Get a few people, do it with you. Enjoy their fellowship. But you got to hide because the preacher can't do it, don't understand it. The church members don't understand it, and they don't want you to rock the boat of the church. So in the back of the Methodist church, back of the Episcopal church, and finally they say you can't do it here. So you have to do it in the privacy of your home. So they go to the house, and they have home prayer and chair meetings. I went to many of them when I was young, when this was first starting to break out into the various different kinds of denominations. Amen. And it was so beautiful. I thought, man, this is the last days. God's pouring His Spirit out upon everybody, because that's the way I'd always heard. I had never heard what God finally showed me, that the last days was what Peter was talking about right then and there, that Joel had spoken about in the book of Acts. That was the last days right then. And just because we're here 2,000 years later doesn't mean that we can't be a part of it. But this is the same last days. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you're getting them in the same last days they got it in. Amen. Hallelujah. But I thought it was the last days then, because God said He'd pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And all of a sudden, here came these people. People. Different religions, all speaking in tongues. And I went and got amongst them, and I rejoiced too. I was having a good time. But then I started hearing them say things. We don't need a preacher. We don't need a preacher. We just need each other. We just need love. We don't need doctrine. We just need to get together and pray and share with each other good things and love one another and have fellowship. We don't need doctrine. We don't need preachers. Hey, you do need doctrine and you do need preachers. Amen. Because this is what God has chosen. Hallelujah. And you need God. Thank you, Jesus. And so the big thing finally just became what it is today. Beer drinkers can speak in tongues. Dope takers can speak in tongues. Prostitutes can speak in tongues. Pimps can speak in tongues. It's not God doing it. It's people. They do it. I can do it too. One man told me he had as high as 20-something ladies in a way that adults can talk about every month, and spoke in tongues every time. Well, that's not God. I don't care how much you la la la. If it's going to be God, it's going to come from God. And along with it comes clean living. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And any other thing may be charismatic, but if it's God, it'll also include submission to the name of Jesus in baptism. Let's praise the Lord one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to let you go. My grandpa, John W. Rooks, was seeking for the Holy Ghost. But before he received it, he shot a bull, his neighbor's bull, because it kept breaking through the fence and messing up his yard. So he got aggravated one day, and he took a shotgun out and he killed his neighbor's bull. And, well, he got, you know, he hid the bull so nobody ever know what happened. And the neighbor, a few days later, went looking for his bull. And when I say neighbor, I'm talking they lived miles apart. So he was a friend of my grandpa, John W. Rooks, so he decided to come over and stay over a few days at Paul Rooks' house while he searches for his bull. So he stayed at Grandpa's house, and my grandpa had a real guilty conscience, he testified later. Said every morning the guy would get up and he'd go looking for the bull. And he knew what happened all the time. But he didn't have the nerve to tell him. And said God started dealing with him because he had a relative that was preaching Jesus' name baptism in the community. And he was against this guy that was preaching, even though he was related to him, because he was preaching it wrong. But he was seeking for more of God. He was already a church member, although he did drink whiskey, had whiskey bottles in the back of his pocket even when he went to church. But he was a clerk in a church. He was the one that knew how to run the church. My grandpa. But not an apostolic church. It was a church that lets you do anything you want to do, and you're saved by grace, and you can't help it, and you're going to heaven no matter what. And once you're saved, you're always saved. Nobody can be lost. That kind of church. Once you say, I accept Jesus as my Savior. That was what he was. So he decided, because his, I believe it was his cousin, was preaching Jesus' name, and it was making him nervous, bothering him. And his cousin would say, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name to be saved. And that bothered him. And it made him search the scriptures and look up some things. And finally, he put his finger in the Bible and he had it all figured out. And he went heading down to that revival meeting. You're going to prove that preacher wrong. And when he got there, he sat down with his finger on the text where he wanted to talk to him as soon as he got a chance and show him what Jesus said. The preacher took his text right where he had his finger and preached Jesus' name. And my granddad saw it and got baptized in the name of Jesus. Came home soaking wet. All the kids said, where are you going, Paul? When he left, he said, I'm going to go prove that preacher wrong. When he came back, he said, why are you? They said, why are you so wet? He said, I got baptized in Jesus' name. But he still wanted the Holy Ghost. He was seeking for it. And he said every time he'd get down to pray, all he could see was a bull. All he could see was that bull that he shot. And he said it bothered him and he couldn't get past it. He wanted God, but all he could see was a bull. And it bothered him so much, he finally sat down and wrote a letter to that friend and said, I shot your bull. I killed your bull. I'm sorry, but I'm seeking for the Holy Ghost. And I'm wanting to serve God. And I've got to get this straightened out somehow because it's bothering me. And I'm willing to pay you for it if you work out some way. Just figure out the price and we'll work out some kind of payment arrangement. But he said, whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. I'm guilty. I killed your bull. And I'm sorry. He got a letter back. Said, John, of all the people I've known in the world, I never would have believed you would have killed my bull. You'd have been the last person in the world that I'd ever would have believed would have killed my bull. But he said, whatever that is you're seeking for, I want you to get that. And don't let that bull be a problem to you. You're forgiven for killing my bull. You don't owe me anything. Now go on and get whatever that is you're trying to get. And then my grandpa got the Holy Ghost. Started speaking in tongues. No more bull. God bless you.